You started us off well this morning, Connie, with the talk of the Virgin. Which is this understanding of the Virgin in the heavens, that we might get this understanding in our feet as well, that we are the Virgin, that we are the divine feminine, the Virgin in this earth. So we're gaining that understanding. God is writing His laws in our hearts right now. And that's part, this virgin birth is part of that, that He's writing in our hearts. He's writing these laws in our hearts right now. But there was a time when He wrote them down for Moses. Moses wrote them down for God and the prophets. So the laws were in writing, actual paper. They were actually written down. But now we're fulfilling the law right now. We're grace walking out on this earth. Out of Zion goes forth the law, but out of Jerusalem came the word. And we know that Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, God desires those to worship Him in spirit because that is what He is. He is spirit. So He desires those of His offspring, to worship Him. So because He is spirit, He wants us to worship Him back that way. The Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts that we may hear Him, that we may see Him. And so He is writing right upon our hearts what He wants us to know, that we might come forth in Him, that we might produce fruit. There is a law of reproduction. There actually is. It doesn't state it as such in Scripture. This is the law of reproduction. No, you have to go in and study it out. There's mysteries within here that tell us so much. And this law of reproduction, it states that every life whose seed is in itself must come from its own kind. And Scripture says, first the natural, but then the spiritual. But I submit to you, first the spiritual, and then the natural. Because didn't he first create the heavens and then the earth? So first the scripture, first spiritual, we have to have that understanding within as He moves upon our hearts, and then we can walk it out in the natural.
Amen.
Okay. All seed that has life within us must come from a source. Would you agree with that? So all life must first have a parent seed, a creative seed from which it grows. And in fact, to create means to cause to grow. So, I mean, that's what Webster's New World Collegiate Dictionary says. To create is to cause to grow. And I think that he had some spiritual understanding. If you look at how he, and not the regular dictionary, you go to the collegiate dictionary, you get some really shades of meaning that bring out so much light, to me it does. So let's look at this statement here in Genesis, where we first find this. It's in the first chapter, which is your creation chapter, I call it. And the statement that every life whose seed is in itself must come from its own kind. Genesis 1 and verse 9. We have just completed the second day when we start here, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. So I call this first chapter the blueprint of the heavens, but the heavens within us, really. Not out there, but within us. So we have, as I am sharing with you, I want you to try to see this is going on. These heavens are going on within you right now. And the second chapter is more about formation. God formed man of the dust of the earth, and man became a living soul. So that chapter, the second chapter, chapter 2, brings into existence that which already was in the blueprint. And in the whole of the first chapter, which I call the creation story, we see God growing himself. He is seeding himself, seed that was in himself and solely came from himself, of its own kind. And these speak of things that occurred on the third day, of which we are in right now, because he's raising us up, and he's causing us to live, where he's raising us up to stand, to know who we are, a rebirth, causing us to live in his sight. But again, I speak of this inward resurrection, this rebirth that is going on in us through Elohim, the Creator God, who has planted his seed in us, and he's now bringing the seed that was in itself, that was in you and me, that it may live. So we see that seeding process, especially in verse 11 and 12. And I read again. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And it brought forth. And God said, it is good. So in the seeding process, seed that is in itself is usually capable of seeding itself, usually, under proper conditions, and of course that can vary. So seed that is in itself has had boundaries established. Seed cannot come forth outside of itself. It must come from within itself. And further, the law of reproduction states that it must come from its own kind. Now, you may think here, well, corn seed cannot be produced out of an apple seed. Corn cannot come from apple or similar things. But really, I think it's talking more here of the own kind, meaning the purest kind available that goes directly back to the DNA of its parents. If you have hybrid seed, for instance, you cannot out of the hybrid seed, you cannot take that hybrid seed and expect it to produce just like the parent seed. Or any seed that's been genetically altered is going to change through that genetically, it being altered. It's not going to come forth exactly like the parent seeds. You have to start over and go back to the source, the parent seed. If it's been genetically altered as a hybrid seed, like these seeds can't be saved to use again normally. They may say, well, yes, they can be used again, but you're not going to get exactly the same vigor, the same quality, the same uniformity of that those parent seeds. You're just not, if they're planted again. So I said, as I stated, there are two distinct qualifications to reproduce in its purest form. Every life must come from within itself, and it must be of its own kind. If it's after its own kind, it's going to have a direct connection to its parent seed, not a generation or generations removed. And everything that's in that pure seed has the power to reproduce the exact attributes of its parent. The sower soweth the word. Remember that parable? The sower soweth the word. And it actually began, remember there were four seeds? It actually began in the heavens. And Elohim, our Creator God, he began agitating the waterlogged, deep darkness in Genesis 1 through 5. Somehow or other, I always end up back in Genesis. I don't see how we can get to the end until we start with the beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He scooped in and took the light out of the darkness, set it. He went in and took it out. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So here, what do we have here? We have an earth without form, empty, darkness, and water. That's it. And then he puts light in there amongst all that. He says, let there be light. So light impregnated the deep womb of the darkness. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The original seed was the spoken word that became light. He spoke it into existence. John started off his writings in St. John, the Gospel of St. John. If you want to turn to that, I'm just going to read just a little from there. In the beginning was the Word. Is that not what we were just talking about? In the beginning was the Word?
Yes.
Is that not compared to Genesis? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning, was in the beginning with God. Skip to verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness. Is that what we just said? And the darkness didn't understand it. I'm going down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. The Word that was in the heavens was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word took on form. He had to take on form to be visible to creation. So the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We're still beholding his glory. They beheld his glory. We can behold his glory. Because the Word is taking on flesh. The Word is becoming flesh. Flesh is becoming Word. How do you behold the glory of a flower, though, if you can't even see it, if it isn't visible to you? Do you know that light must have an object to reflect off of in order to be visible to others? What object was in the heavens there in those Genesis 1 and 2 and 3? What object was present there to reflect off of? How could the light be seen? Let there be light, he said. So he took the light out of the darkness, but it could not be seen as light. So that's why he had to divide it out, so it could be seen. And how, and the most critical part here is it had to have an object. It needs to have an object to radiate off of. Light that is unseen and it remains unseen until an object appears. And then light as that source will reflect off the object, causing it to be seen to the observer. So you are the light of the world, a city that set on a hill cannot be hid. And if you're the city of light, then you reflect all the light that you are. Objects usually disappear when their source of light is cut off. The city becomes dark. That doesn't mean it ceases to exist. It's just that you can't see any of the objects any longer. So a city that's set on a hill will be dark, and it will be unseen without a source of light to reflect it. Light always has a source, and light always has an object in order to be seen. So God really sought his word to become visible. Yes. That's what he wanted. That's why men had to be formed out of creation to become visible. But he was not visible to himself without an object. What is it? Rocha said, love must have an object.
Yes.
It's not visible without an object. And then we can think here of the woman who was formed for the man to reflect his light. The woman's head or identity is man, and man's head or his identity is Christ. Everything in its own order. But God said the two shall become one flesh. Malachi said they would be one flesh because he was seeking a godly seed. In the beginning, in the heavens creative order, man was created in God's image as male and female. If you read that carefully, he was as male and female, not separate, to reflect the light of their source, their father. They were already one in God's blueprint. Do you see the difference? In the creative order, he would bring forth of his own pure seed, whose seed was in itself. And in the formative order, he would multiply and fill this terra firma, this firm earth, and become visible as seed upon this earth. Life always seeks to reproduce. It's inherent within life. That's another law of reproduction, I guess we could say. It is inherent in life that it wants to reproduce. That's its job. So in the heavenlies, in the creation story of Elohim, our creator God, he cast the seed into the ground. He cast his seed right into what was present there in that void. His medium actually was the waters that were covering the face, or the identity of the earth, your earth. He cast his seed into your earth. What's he looking for? He's looking to reproduce himself in your earth. He's looking for fruit. Always he's looking for fruit. So he casts his seed that was himself into your earth, and it's of his own kind, into the waters that cover over the deep. You have waters that cover over your deep. He cast that into those waters. His deep propagate your deep abyss. And the Hebrew word means to agitate. Something like skipping stones across the water, I think of. Watching that water agitate, circling outwards from where that stone hit, it circles outwards into like wheels. Wheels within wheels that circles outward. These stones cast upon the waters, they circle outward, creating a kind of a wheels of energy arising. These wheels of energy are circling within us, becoming an ascending sort of energy as it comes from our root, where it started off in the waters, and moves upward through our crown. So you can sometimes see that ascension, well, when you're here and we're singing and you feel differently, or moments during the day when you just feel His glory just come all over you. You can feel that ascension, and the more that you get a hold of that, the more it's going to happen. The more ascension, the more energy, God's energy is going to flow through you as you allow that, because He's there, and He wants to do that. He wants to do that. He can't do any other. He wants to create life. That's what He does. In Mark 4, it's Jesus' story of the four seeds. You remember that. I don't have to read it. But I would like to turn to, because there's a couple verses I would like to read out of it, where He tells the people, the great multitude, about these four seeds. And then he when He's alone with His disciples, He explains what they mean. But these four seeds all have different destinations. But they're the same seed. And they had their source in the sower. And there the sower sowed the seeds. That's in verse 14 of Mark 4. The sower sowed the word. The word is the seed. That's what it tells us later on in here. The sower sowed the word. And the word of seed was scattered. And you remember, it went to the wayside. It went to the stony ground. It went to thorny places. And then finally it went to good ground where it could take root. In verses 26 through 29, when He tells this story, after that He says, "So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." He sleeps. When the seed is sown, he's asleep. He's asleep. He goes to sleep. And he rises night and day first, night and day. First the darkness, then the light. It brings fruit of itself, in itself, of itself, and all by itself. I once threw some grass seed out, and I would go out there, the first time I ever did this, looking for grass, you know, looking for, and I couldn't see. I was like, I'd go out there every day, like, where is it, you know, and I kept watering every day. And one day in the early morning, there it was. So somehow during the night, it had sprung up. And it wasn't there the night before. So it's just like the wind that blows wherever it pleases and passes over our earth. You hear sound, we hear the word, but we cannot tell where it's coming and where it's going. Same thing. We can't see natural seed growing, but, you know, a fast shuttered lens, a camera could pick it up. And you know, that's how God sees us, through that kind of a lens. You know, he can see the end from the beginning. We're kind of caught in time and space. And if we could just see afar off, if we could kind of look down the road and say, well, Father, what is it you have for me? If I could just look down the road instead of at my circumstances right here, I need to start looking down the road because there's something out there that he has already planned for me, he's got for me, he knows it's there for me. It's that treasure. It's there. It's waiting. Like the seed that's in the ground, it has to die first before it can be born. That is like the seed that's in the ground is waiting. Seed can sometimes wait up to years before they come forth. But if they have the proper ingredients, you know, that's all it takes. Moisture and air, and it will come forth in its proper timing. It may not be time for you right now to come forth. He says, Lazarus, come forth. It may not be time for you, but look down the road because that time is coming. So our progression with this precious seed or word, as he calls it, that originated, it was compromised at every turn. Remember, it went to the wayside, then it went into stony places, and it went among thorns. It was compromised every time. And this is what it does within us, too. First, seed just kind of scatters. It doesn't know where. Can't find, you know, things that are around take it away from us. Just like that. But you see a progression where little by little it's trying to find its place within us till finally it finds just that right place where it can take root. God breathed into man's form. He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And God exhaled, and man inhaled. What was that ingredient? That was the breath of life that he inhaled, the breath of life. The seed had already been planted in the heavens as the word. So this is formation. This is what's going on with us now. We're being formed. This is formation, not creation. We already have the blueprint in us. We already have the DNA in us. Now he's forming us. And in order to become visible in a form, okay, rather than just setting that seed, rather than him just placing that seed in there, out there, in the darkness, it has to become visible, has to have something to reflect off of. He sought to express himself, to reproduce himself, to make himself visible. And there can be no expression in darkness because there's no visible light in it. That's why darkness can never make sense of light as a light attempts to shine into it. It actually withholds light. And it stands in polar opposition to light. You can't affect darkness. You can't move it. You can't remove it. Not in and of itself. Darkness cannot give or receive darkness, for it doesn't derive from the source, as light does. So it can't express or reproduce itself. It can't even become visible. It just exists as an empty vacuum. Without form, it's absent of light, and therefore it's chaotic. You can study light, but how do you study darkness? You know, Newton's prism, where light was refracted into many different colors, he studied that. That's light. But how do you do that to darkness? You can't. You can't measure darkness. So he spoke into the deep and he said, let there be light. And light became the very expression of himself. His spoken word and light is always continuously moving. It's light is life. It's moving. It's never still and is actually energy through space. So that light that he is seeking to put within us, the light that he has already put there within us, actually, is seeking more light. It's just seeking to expand within us. It's constantly radiating energy, seeking to reproduce more energy. That's just its property. And it becomes light. It could do no other because of the law of reproduction. Every life whose seed is in itself must come from its own kind. And we know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he cast his light upon the waters, and the light scattered everywhere, making fruitful those deep, chaotic waters. And that was a rebirth from the chaotic condition it was in. Light was the first order of the day. This is a new birth. Only if there's, first of all, a death. As you know, what happens to a seed. And actually, what happens to a seed is its covering. The thicker the covering, the longer it takes to come forth. Longer it takes for that light and life to come forth out of the seed, the shell. So he's trying to penetrate our darkness. Now, Isaiah said that God planted the heavens and he laid the foundation of the earth, that he might say unto Zion, thou art my people. You know that Zion was the city of God. It was the city set on a hill. It was a mountain near Jerusalem that David conquered. In Scripture, we are compared to the virgin daughters of Zion, the woman clothed with the sun. So she is the seed planted in the heavens within you. For is not the kingdom of heaven within you? The kingdom of God is within you. The words are synonymous. Kingdom of heaven is with you, within you. And he planted the heavens with his seed that he might behold the sun, to make the sun visible. That is the argument that I have for those that say that he didn't need to come and walk on this earth. They acknowledge, what I'm hearing is they're acknowledging, yeah, he was in the heavens, but he did not need to walk on this earth. That's wrong. That can't be right. How is he going to be visible?
Amen.
How he needs to be visible. Love has to have an object.
Yes, it does.
So he has to be visible to creation. It is not creation waiting on tiptoe for this, for that appearance. You know, they're in a sort of a pains of childbirth. We don't realize it, but the earth, we people, all of creation, that includes all of creation, not just the people here, are groaning and waiting for this appearance to come forth, which will come forth through man,
yes.
who the Word is becoming, who has is becoming flesh, then the flesh is becoming Word.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
The light will rule. The light takes authority over the day.
Yes.
We are children of the day, are we not? We're children of the light. And remember, the woman was with child, and she was reflecting the light of the sun that was her source.
Yes.
So the woman with child is reflecting the light of the sun. And so, I mean, this is the great mystery, isn't it? This is a great wonder. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Deep within your womb. So, I thank you for your attention.